Let's open our Bibles to Mark chapter 8, beginning at verse 1. Mark chapter 8, verse 1. Here we have the account of the feeding of the 4,000. In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said to them, "I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their own houses, they will faint on the way, for some of them have come from afar." Then his disciples answered him, "How can one satisfy these people with bread here in the wilderness?" He asked them, "How many loaves do you have?" And they said, 7. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks, broke them, and gave them to his disciples to set before them, and they set them before the multitude. And they had a few small fish, and having blessed them, he said to set them also before them. So they ate and were filled, and they took up 7 large baskets of leftover fragments. Now those who had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. A few background notes. The feeding of the 4,000 is not as well known as the feeding of the 5,000. The feeding of the 5,000 we've seen is in all 4 Gospels, whereas the feeding of the 4,000 is only in Matthew and Mark. It's in Matthew chapter 15. Some skeptics of the Bible say that here we have evidence of errors in the Bible. The fact that some Gospels, so these skeptics say, have 5,000 and some 4,000, this, they say, shows, well, nobody knew for sure. It was one event, and they got it mixed up, and some are reporting 5,000 and some 4,000. No, the truth of the matter is there were 2 miracles. No errors in the Bible. 2 miracles. In one, there was the feeding of the 4,000 men besides women and children. The other, the feeding of the 5,000, the more familiar one, besides women and children. Now, besides the difference in numbers, there are some significant other differences as well. We read in both cases that there were, besides women and children, so there may have been as many as 12,000, 20,000 maybe, even in the feeding of the 5,000, maybe as many as 10 or 12, 15,000 in the feeding of the 4,000. But here are some of the other differences. The location was different. We saw in the feeding of the 5,000, the location was at the north or northeast end of the Sea of Galilee, whereas here in the feeding of the 4,000, the location is at the east or southeast end of the Sea of Galilee. If you go back to chapter 7 and verse 31, you see they're coming into the region of the Decapolis. That is a region which is east and southeast of the Sea of Galilee. So it's in a different location. Furthermore, in the case of the feeding of the 5,000, there were Jewish people involved. Whereas here, in the feeding of the 4,000, in the area of the Decapolis, it was primarily Gentile. The region of the Decapolis was primarily populated by Gentile people. You can see God's grace then in both of these miracles going out to both the Jews and the Gentiles. A third difference is here in the feeding of the 4,000, we see that the crowd had been with him 3 days, having nothing to eat. You see that in verse 2? "I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat." Whereas in the feeding of the 5,000, they were only there for the day. A fourth difference is the most familiar one here in reference to the amount of food. In the feeding of the 5,000, you use 5 loaves and 2 fish, whereas here you can see in verses 5 and 7, he used 7 loaves and a few small fish. A fifth difference is the amount left over. As you know, in the feeding of the 5,000, it was 12 baskets. In the feeding of the 4,000, it's 7 baskets. You see that in verse 8. Now, what's interesting here is the word for basket is different. In the feeding of the 5,000, it's a small basket, kind of like a lunch basket. Whereas here, in the feeding of the 4,000, it's more like a big hamper, big basket. It's the same word that's used in Acts chapter 9, verse 25, where Paul is let over the wall in Damascus in a basket. That's the same word that's used here. So if you want a little Bible trivia question, you could say to somebody, oh, let me test your Bible knowledge. In the feeding of the 5,000 or the feeding of the 4,000, where did they have more leftovers? Now, chances are they'll say, well, the feeding of the 5,000, 12 baskets. Well, then you can come back and say, no, even though there were only 7 baskets feeding the 4,000, they were big baskets. There was much more left over there. So much for Bible trivia, right? 1/6 difference here in reference to the feeding of the 5,000 versus the feeding of the 4,000. The events following the feedings are different. In the feeding of the 5,000, you remember the Lord departs by himself to a mountain to pray and sends the disciples on the sea, and you have the storm and the Lord coming to them walking on the sea, and then they land at Gennesaret. Whereas here in the feeding of the 4,000, you can see from verse 10, they all go together on the Sea of Galilee. There's no storm, there's no walking on the water, and they end up at Dalmanutha or Magdala, a few miles north of Tiberias. All right, let's move to doctrinal points or teaching points from this miracle. God provides bread in the wilderness. That's the doctrinal point from this passage. God provides bread in the wilderness. Look at verse 4. Then his disciples answered him, how can one satisfy these people with bread here in the wilderness or the desolate place? Now, what's the answer? The answer is, well, humanly speaking, nobody can provide for them. But God can. God can provide bread in the wilderness. Mark 10:27. With men, it is impossible, but not with God. With God, all things are possible. God can provide bread in the wilderness. And this is really part of the meaning of this miracle. And the bread we're talking about here is Christ himself. In John chapter 6, where you have the feeding of the 5,000, you also have the bread of life discourse. And there we find the Lord referring to himself as the true bread of life. I am the bread of life. He says there that he is the true bread which comes down out of heaven. And it's all part of the discourse which is associated with the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. The discourse is associated right with that miracle. So, in other words, the essential spiritual meaning of both of the miracles, feeding of the 4,000, feeding of the 5,000, is that Christ himself is the provision for the wilderness. He is the bread from heaven. Partake of Christ and your spiritual hunger will be satisfied. Life in this world without Christ really is a wilderness. There may be short-lived oases of fun and pleasure, but ultimately it's a drag. No true fulfillment. It's a wilderness. But in Christ, in our Lord Jesus Christ, there is provision for the wilderness. He is the true bread, the bread of life. God not only provides us salvation when we come to Christ as sinners, but he also provides spiritual food for our spiritual appetite as we live the Christian life. And it's not just to be partially fulfilled. Notice there, verse 8, they were completely filled. All that we need is found in Christ. He's the true bread of life. Are you spiritually hungry? Do you feel empty? Does life seem like a wilderness? God provides bread in the wilderness. Christ is the bread of life. Practical application. The Lord knows and cares about all your personal needs. The Lord knows and cares about all your personal needs. Look at verses 2 and 3 once again. The Lord says, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their own houses, they will faint on the way, for some of them have come from afar. The Lord shows compassion here. And a great lesson for us. The Lord knows and cares about all our personal needs. In Mark 6, verse 34, in the context of the feeding of the 5,000, we see that our Lord was moved with compassion there, but it was particularly in reference to their spiritual needs. He saw them like sheep without a shepherd. Here, in the miracle of the feeding of the 4,000, we see our Lord moved by compassion for their physical needs. So the Lord knows and cares about all our needs, both spiritual and physical. Notice that the Lord knew that they were hungry. He knew that they would faint if they didn't get any food. He knew all about their weaknesses. He knew that some had come from afar. He knew everything about them. Well, the same is true in reference to us. Do you think the Lord knows how far you can go before fainting? You think the Lord knows how much sleep you need or the strength you need to do what He's called you to do? You think the Lord knows what you need to keep you going? You think the Lord knows how far you have to travel? The Lord knows everything. You see, we could apply this to both our physical and spiritual needs. The Lord knows and cares about all of our personal needs. He not only knows because He's omniscient, but He cares. He has compassion. This is more than omniscience. Well, if He had compassion on them, He certainly has compassion on us today as well. Hebrews 13, verse 8 says that our Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do you have any personal needs right now? Well, the Lord not only knows, He cares. It may seem at times like the Lord's delaying His help, but look again at verse 2. He delayed for 3 days. The Lord had reasons then, and so today. We can be sure that even when the Lord delays, He knows and He cares. We can be sure that the Lord knows and cares about all our personal needs. One more practical application. How soon we forget. How soon we forget. You know, you would have thought the disciples here would have remembered the feeding of the 5,000. I mean, it's not too many months after. But they seem to have forgotten. It's almost like the same thing all over again. Well, let's not be too hard on the disciples, right? How soon we forget. You know, if I were to ask right now for a show of hands, right here, from everyone that has seen God answer prayer about your financial situation, I'll bet we get 100% show of hands that you've prayed somewhere in your life about your financial situation and you've seen God answer prayer. I'll bet we get 100% show of hands, right? Well, then why do we keep worrying about finances? If we've seen God answers, how soon we forget. God will take care of us. He knows all about our needs. But how soon we forget. Let's learn that lesson from this miracle as well. And not forget that God really does care for us and have compassion. He not only knows, He cares, but how soon we forget.